Hey, Taiwan Special, episode 2 for the week. Yesterday went a little bit long. Yesterday I talked about how what's going on with the culture conflict and the elections in Hong Kong, and how this is you've got a Western-minded society, an emerging Western-minded generation in society, confronting the old Chinese culture, which pretty much ignores anybody because I'm big and I'm powerful and I don't have to listen or change. And it's really bad. It's horrible. It's why China only knows how to copy stuff, because the boss of the company won't listen to the innovators. So there aren't any innovators, because innovating gets you punished. So this is why China only knows how to copy. So it's just because they teach the people underneath them to copy, because nobody listens to anybody. There's no respect. There's just being oppressed by the biggest bully in the room. That's all they know. It's very, very sad. And so this cultural transformation that's taking place is a very, very good thing, because it means a lot of people are going to stop being bullied. You know, you want to talk about human trafficking? Nothing does human trafficking like the Confucian culture that the Western missionary teachers do not want us to confront in Chinese culture. It's Confucianism. It's the Confucian oppressor. Being oppressed is good. That's Confucius. Being oppressed is good. It's not oppression. It's thinking of others. So when you're right and your grandfather is absolutely wrong, you have to obey him, because you must think of everybody else. It's selflessness, you see, to let him do this to you, which is oppression, but I'm not going to call it that. That's Confucian philosophy. And it's just terrible. And the younger Taiwanese generation absolutely hates it. They're learning to stand up to it. They don't like it. But Hong Kong's about 20 years ahead of the Taiwanese in that. No, maybe 10. Scratch that. 10 years ahead. So, that's a thing, is, you know, cultural changes take time. 10 years ago, Hong Kong might not have been ready for this, because the younger generation would not have been practiced well enough in confronting shame. You know, you try to go against this Asian shame bossiness thing. Hong Kongers might have been a little bit scared to stand up 10 years ago. Maybe a little bit scared. Today, they're not scared at all. The college students, the 20-year-olds, are not scared at all these days. The now 30-year-olds, maybe were a little bit tiny scared to stand up back then. But now that they're seeing the 20-year-olds do it, they're saying, okay, it's all right to stand up. And so time has to go by, and the old bad blood has to get washed out. And then, you know, these guys are 30 years old, those guys are 40 years old, these ones are 20 years old. And now that we're here in this, everyone's set, right? Now they're actually going to stand up and expect to be respected. So that's going on. Well, as part of all this, there's this idea over here in this neck of the woods on my side of the pond, where China is big and therefore it will always win. I don't buy that. I was recently having a conversation with someone who said, China's big, they'll always win. I said, you ever heard of India? He said, yeah, but India has no money. I said, they've got lots of income, and they've got the engineers. I mean, it's really funny. You know, I go on YouTube, I want to know how to do some computer code thing. You know, you turn on the YouTube channel, there's noise in the background. Hello, guys. Today, I will show you how to, you know, and you got the Indian accent there. By the way, Indian accent joke thing. I met this guy from India in Vietnam, and I would impersonate, like, I would, you know, basically make fun of his Indian accent, and he thought it's hilarious. So people in America getting offended over simply observing, not demeaning people. I don't tell him he's an idiot. I don't impersonate him in a manner that demeans him like Trump impersonators do towards Trump, which is okay to the easily offended people in America. Oh, that's okay. I'm offended by everything, but I can insult Trump, or I can insult conservatives. Right. Uh-huh. But I didn't do any of that demeaning stuff. I simply taught... Oh, yes, it is very nice to see you again, that you have come back to Vietnam, and I hope that your business is doing very well. Thank you. Come again. And he actually knows what I'm saying, because it is his accent, and he thinks it's just really funny that I actually nailed it. Okay, well, he's not offended. That's just a funny little thing. Well, anyhow, India. India's big. all these factories leaving China because of the trade war, or all the customers, you know, walking away from the factories, finding new factories as to be the, you know, like H&M is a customer. Okay. See, I'm over here on this side of the pond. We're talking manufacturing, supply chain, H&M, Adidas, Nike, Hugo Boss. These are customers, right? Because they buy from your factory, right? Okay. They're not a brand. They're a customer. Okay. So they don't want to be a customer to China anymore. So they're going to go where? Vietnam and India. All right. So India is getting new customers, and they've got, you know how many people India has? India has the same number of people as China. China is not the biggest country in the world. It's tied with India as the largest country in the world with population. And as far as the size of China goes, my goodness, China is a prison. The Kunlun Mountains and the Himalayas basically have China walled in from the rest of the world. The reason that they can't expand more is because the mountains won't let them. And a lot of that land is just big old empty space. It's like Canada. So the inhabitable amount of useful land in China is not, it's not the size, it's not all the land. I'm trying to talk like Bush here. I'm going to call the British primary minister, the prime minotaur that, I'm going to call Tony. I've been really busy burning the oil at both ends, or burning the candle burning the midnight candle, or burning the, anyhow, China is not the biggest in population. And another thing, Vietnam has been successfully standing against China for 2,000 years. So there's this idea over here that China is ultra big, that it's always going to win, that the bigness always wins the little guy. The Taiwanese had never heard the story of David and Goliath. Like, seriously. I had a friend, I was talking about this. I said, you know Vietnam? China's been trying to take Vietnam for years. They can't do it. So if China's so big and they're like Thanos, who's inevitable, then how come they haven't taken Vietnam in 2,000 years? If China is inevitable and they're going to take over Taiwan and crush us all, why haven't they done it yet with this little tiny island, Taiwan, and China hasn't been here? If China's inevitable, how come they haven't taken over? How come the Hong Kong stuff hasn't stopped yet? Don't give me, what about India? If China is inevitable, like Thanos, then why don't the Chinese control India like they want to? If China is inevitable, like Thanos, why didn't they succeed in taking over the Australian government, like the spy reported that they were and Australia is now investigating? So there's this idea over here that has a lot of people in Asia crippled, that China's takeover is inevitable. And it just ain't so. See you tomorrow.